The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Well, you're excited to get going.
Talking all over myself there.
Yeah, let it rip.
Do you think everything's going to be okay tomorrow morning?
Probably not.
You don't?
No.
Well, we are 10 hours from a government shutdown.
We all got to die sometime, Chip. It's inevitable.
I don't think that's going to take us down, dude.
You don't?
I don't think it will.
Let's see, to hear you say that.
The last time, what was it, 2013? Mm-hmm. Yes, 2013, mm-hmm. We shut down for 16 days.
Well, if we're not all going to die tomorrow morning, I should probably make my car payment. Doggone it. I should have thought of that.
I think it was October of 2013. Uh-huh. We were shut down for 16 days. And if you'll remember, mm-hmm. We lost a supply and demand report. We lost a couple of other reports from USDA that were really kind of important to us.
It was a fine time here at the office, though.
Yeah, wasn't
very
it fun?
Little to report on. You know, the hardest thing to do was to look busy, as I recall. It was miserable.
The good news, even if we do have a government shutdown,
yeah.
Some federal employees will still be required to go to work.
Oh, they will.
Yes.
Okay.
Most importantly for me. Mm-hmm. We'll have the slaughter inspectors, the meat inspectors, will still be reporting to duty.
Okay.
The air traffic controllers, for example, mm-hmm. They will still have to report to.
See, we're going
to
need those folks.
Now, if they really wanted to get serious mm-hmm. about proving a point, they would send those air traffic controllers home for the week, too, or something like that, or a mm-hmm. day. Mm-hmm. A day. Oh, my gosh. Think of the chaos
Imagine.
It would create.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. That is the Mark the
Steady
AgriTalk After the Bell.
Alpha Tango Bravo.
Handsome newsman.
Standing by.
Davis Michelson. I'm looking forward to today's conversation with Clayton Pope from Clayton Pope Commodities. Give us a call, guys. It's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, be sure to include hashtag ChipATB in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Dollar, the last time I looked, was slightly higher. Crude was lower. Stocks just slightly higher. I think they are yet anyway. NASDAQ's doing pretty good. Corn was slightly higher. Soybeans slightly higher. Soybean meal, higher. Bean oil, slightly higher.
You like that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Wheat was slightly lower. Live cattle were lower. Feeder cattle were sharply lower. And lean hogs were lower with the nearbys leading losses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So beans really put a bow on a really nice week.
They sure did. Nice little rally this week.
It was a nice rally that we had in the bean market this week, and it looks like soybean meal did a lot of the heavy lifting on that rally in the soy complex this week. Let's get this started. Go ahead and tell us what moved the markets today.
Well, Chip, wheat export sales in the weekend of January 11 totaled just over 153,000 metric tons for shipment in the current marketing year, and a small sale was also reported for delivery next year. That was well below trade expectations and served as another reminder that even with wheat prices within 15 cents of contract lows, U.S. exporters are having a tough time competing with supplies out of the Black Sea. Also limiting buying interest today is the weather forecast, with rain and or snow expected in the Central Plains over the weekend. Now, you are not a certified meteorologist, though, correct?
No, I am
not. Am I right on that?
I am not, and I didn't even play one on TV. Like ever. Okay?
I know a guy that did once.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. Okay, so this situation in wheat, it really is a competition issue. There's no question about it. Corn and bean sales in the week were really good. So it's not like there was still a holiday hangover going on for the exporters. We just didn't sell much wheat in that first full week of the year. And Russia isn't going anywhere either. They'll continue to undercut world prices to make sure that they get the business.
Well, wheat futures have still not recovered from the bigger-than-expected winter wheat seedings estimate released a week ago today, but the market did dig into those losses. March soft red futures gained 20.25 cents from last Friday's close. That can't be right.
No, that's not right.
I wrote that wrong?
2.25.
2.25.
Yes.
Extra zero there. 2.25 since last Friday.
Right.
March hard red futures were 2 cents lower at 427.5. March soft red fell 2.5 cents to close at 422.75. March spring wheat was down 2 cents at 608.5. U.S. exporters sold nearly 1.9 million metric tons of corn for delivery in the current marketing year in the weekend of January 11. That total easily blew past the highest pre-report trade estimate. Even with that supportive demand news in the market, professional trading funds did their best to keep front-month corn futures below resistance at 354. On the supply side of the market, corn traders are keeping a close eye on the Brazilian soybean harvest. The slow pace of harvest is threatening to delay safrinha corn plantings, which ultimately could reduce corn acres in Brazil this year. Also, warm and dry conditions in Argentina are on everybody's radar.
Yeah, on those bean, on that bean harvest, Mato Grosso, where they'd like to be planting corn, bean harvest is only about 3.5% done. Last year, they were already about 12% done. Mm. Five-year average is just over 7% done. So who knows? If it keeps raining, we could see fewer than expected corn acres in Brazil.
Well, Chip, after posting a new contract low following the January 12 USDA reports, corn futures did manage to work to the upside this week. March corn futures today settled 6.25 cents above last Friday's close. March corn futures were a penny higher at 3.52 1/2. July corn was up a penny and a quarter at 3.69 even. December corn closed at 3.85 3/4, up 0.75 cents today. With the holidays over, soybean exporters got back to work, finally.
Yeah.
USDA reported export sales of more than 1.24 million metric tons of beans for delivery in the current marketing year, and sales for delivery in the 2018-19 year were sold at nearly 288,000 tons. Soybean meal and bean oil export sales also topped trade expectations. On the supply side, traders point to warm and dry conditions in Argentina and southern Brazil as a source of support for this week's strength in bean futures. Also, some market watchers say the slow harvest pace in northern Brazil could help the U.S. push more beans out of the country before Brazil's new crop supplies hit port locations.
You know, we've seen this happen before. Brazil's northern production areas get rains during harvest, and it does turn into more demand for U.S. beans. China starts to get worried about two things. Number one, the timing of deliveries to the ports. And number two, the quality of those beans.
Well, as you said, soybean meal helped to lead bean prices higher this week, with the March meal contract up $14.60, while bean oil prices fell 85 points. At the high of the week, March bean futures were 38.25 cents above last week's low, and the front month contract closed 16.75 cents higher on the week. March soybean futures were 4.25 cents higher at 9.77 1/4. July beans gained 4.25 to close at 9.98 1/4. November soybeans closed at 9.96 even. That's up 1.75 today. On the livestock side, live cattle futures were slightly lower, with firm cash cattle bids helping the front month contract end the day with just slight losses. February cattle were a nickel lower at 121.90. April cattle fell 75 cents to close at 122.72 1/2. And March feeders were $1.57 1/2 lower today at 145.60. Now, Chip, on the week, February live cattle about $4.50 higher. March futures closed $2.95 above last Friday's close.
Yep.
Glad to hear that. Lower pork product prices weighed on lean hog futures today, with February lean hogs down 97.5 cents at 72.07 1/2, as April hogs fell 40 cents to 75.50. On the week, front month hogs set a new contract high on Tuesday, but today's losses capped the week's gains in to just $0.50 in February futures there.
Yeah, very good. But yeah, at least we were higher. I mean, and we've been talking about in cattle and hogs with a few guys this week that you got to take a close look at these prices, because there may be some hedging opportunities and you might want to get some downside protection in place on the cattle and hogs. And those November beans,
yeah,
$9.96,
yeah,
they were up to $10.01 today.
Oh,
so if
that's
you had
exciting.
If you had those orders in place, guys, pay attention here. And yep, if you didn't have those orders in place, I want to ask you one question. Why not? Well, we'll find out from Clayton Pope what he thinks about $10 November soybean futures when we come back with more AgriTalk after the bell.
From equipment failure to changing commodity prices, there's enough worries facing growers today. Leading yield robbers like SDS and nematode shouldn't be among them. Olivo seed treatment from Bayer is the only product that offers effective protection against SDS and nematodes. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about fixing your tractor or selling your beans at the best price. Don't worry about SDS and nematodes. Learn more at olivo.bayer.com and always read and follow label directions.
Top Third Ag Marketing puts the farmer first with a marketing plan that manages risk in every market condition. We protect the downside, and we're more than just about puts. We'll use a strategy based on the current market conditions and your circumstances. Make your plan today. Let Top Third help.
Top Third Ag Marketing, farmer first with a plan for every market. Call us at 877-TT-HEDGE today. That's 877-TT-HEDGE. Futures trading involves the substantial risk of loss.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Join 800-plus farm executives in the U.S. and Canada while discovering business opportunities, gaining invaluable insights, and increasing your competitive advantage at the 2018 Top Producer Seminar. During these few short days, you'll hear from nearly 30 challenging and inspiring speakers who will help take your farm operation to the next level. Keynote speakers include Chris Cook, Brian Dodge, and Eric Snodgrass. Visit topproducerseminar.com to view the agenda and to register today.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Input Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Input Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
One dream, two prizes, three fields. Show us your farm and you could win a $10,000 donation for your community plus a dream sports trip for you. To enter, visit powertodomore.com, sponsored by Resicor Herbicide.
Yeah? I don't think anybody wants that. Okay,
thank you. Welcome back to Angry Talk.
I don't know why I don't write music like that. I mean, the hardest part to writing songs, for me anyway, is the words. You know, coming up with something meaningful that people will be like, yeah, this guy makes a lot of sense. Give me another beer.
Yeah.
If I could just do it like Dave Matthews and Eddie Vedder did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe just fill it up with watermelon and peanut butter and stuff like that.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. Peanut butter, watermelon.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to Agri Talk After the Bell, everybody.
Button.
All right. I am your host, Chip Florey. That was the ATB News Guy. Corn is slightly higher. Soybean slightly higher. Soybean meal worked to the upside with bean oil just slightly higher. Wheat was slightly lower. Live cattle were lower. Feeder cattle sharply lower. And lean hogs were led by the front month contract and were lower on the day. Today's guest is Clayton Pope from Clayton Pope Commodities. He joins me now. Clayton, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hello, Chip. Hey, I'm doing great. It's good to be on. I like that talent singing up there. For a second, I thought I was waiting in the wings to be on The Voice or something. Believe me, you don't want that.
Yeah, no, that's not what we're all about. Hey, I'm all about The Voice. I appreciate that show. I really do. But
I do, too.
I think Davis is probably going to stay right here.
I think that's a good bet.
Oh, Clayton. Okay, buddy, you're on your way back from a meeting down in Mount Vernon. How'd things go down there?
That was a great, great talk. My son Taylor and I both spoke on the markets, and Eric Snodgrass from U of I and Farm Doc spoke a lot about weather and so forth, and had a great audience, over 100 producers there, and really enjoyed the chance to get together.
Okay, did you get any good questions from them, or any questions? They're all good, right?
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. Well, I'm always impressed by the sophistication of audiences. I think, you know, more and more as time goes on, I've been in this business a long time, and Illinois producers in particular, I think with the proximity to Chicago or whatever, do seem to you know, really have a grasp on, you know, options and, you know, just different terms in the business, you know, what commitment of traders are all about and technicals versus fundamentals and so forth. But as far as specific questions, well, I think a lot of people are, you know, Argentina weather, of course, is really front on people's minds, no doubt about that. And, you know, just what kind of price variability we could be looking at depending on which way the pendulum swings down there.
Right, right. Okay. So this strength that we saw in the soy complex this week, Clayton, I mean, is it Argentina or is it demand-led?
I don't think it's demand-led. I mean, our exports are horrible. Well, let me rephrase that. I mean, they're good, but they're falling horribly behind that in the USDA projection. They lowered the number 65 million bushels on the January 12th report, and despite a good weekly number this morning, all indications are they're going to have to lower those again. So, anyway, to answer your question, I don't think it's demand-led. I think definitely South America is a big factor here. It's a big uncertain item, Argentina in particular. I mean, Brazil, it's getting later and later. It's going to be pretty hard to have any kind of significant problem with their soybean crop. It's a whole new ballgame in the corn, of course. But Argentina beans, I think, are very impactful to the market right now, particularly in light of the fact that Argentina is the biggest soybean meal exporter in the world, way more than us.
Right. Okay, so if this is a crop scare that we're working into the marketplace right now, and we saw that November contract get up to $10, do you feel what's your urgency level to get something done on 2018 beans with that?
Well, in all honesty, we are 30% sold in new crop beans at just a little over $10. So we were urging people who weren't there to get to that point on this move.
Yep, catch up.
Somebody wants to be more pardon me?
I just said, yeah, that catch up on the advice.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah, I think if somebody wanted to be more conservative, they could do like a put-call combo and give themselves a min-max approach on their coverage there. But I definitely think some risks should be taken off the table here. I mean, you look at the cold, hard facts of supply and demand as we know them right now. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you know, we could have some disruption in South America. But in all odds, whatever Argentina loses, Brazil is likely to make up for. I really think that's most likely. And that being the case, the world stocks to usage ratio in beans is like 20%. I mean, that's obscenely big. So, yeah. I just don't think you can go wrong taking some risk off the table, like I said.
Okay. All right. So you said that you've already got 30% priced or covered somehow, some way on the new crop beans. But if you're just getting started, your urgency level probably better be pretty high right now?
I think so. Let me put it this way. I like today's close, even though it really looks crummy on the final minutes, and then that extended play they have, you know, that last 5 minutes.
Yep.
Broke down a little bit more. Beans have closed higher 5 days in a row. But I'll tell you what, that meal market, it stayed pretty rock solid, and it's looking impressive. And even though it backed off the highs too, there's nothing negative about, you know, closing higher every day of the week. And unofficial little sign. Before I got on the board of trade in Chicago years ago, I traded on the Mid-America Exchange. They always traded 15 minutes after the close.
Right.
It's really interesting. If on the closing bell at 1:15, all the big guys from the board would all flock over to the mid-am.
Right.
And if a lot of them were like stuck long, that, you know, they really sell it off, that kind of thing, the like filling brokers and so forth. But 9 times out of 10, that was a fade. So after the close today, we dropped another 2 cents in beans, still higher on the day. But if I had to bet, I would guess that's just a sign we'll open higher Monday. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. It's just kind of a little interesting tale. We'll see what happens.
No, Clayton, I remember doing that all the time when I was down on the floor. As soon as the market would close, if there was some action, any action at all on the CBOT, I would bust it over to the Mid-Am to watch how the after hours on the minis would wrap up. So, yeah, and I noticed that too. You could take some indication on what was going to happen the next day based on the way that Mid-Am closed, no doubt about it. So 5 days in a row to the upside in beans. The funds never got heavily short the beans, but they were short. Are we starting to see the funds change their attitude on the short side of the grain markets?
Short. I mean, the net short on last Friday's number, I believe, was 93,000 net.
Yeah.
Depending which report you look at, that'd be the disaggregated report. But I would guess that'll be lower, you know, in the updates we'll get this afternoon. But that's a pretty hefty short for those guys. Very big short, especially for this time of year. So that brings up an interesting question. Now, a lot of people look at that and say, okay, that's bullish because they're so short. And with corn, they're short 222,000. That's bullish. I disagree. I think when one of the biggest players in the market collectively is sitting short and very aggressively short, I think that's very bearish by itself. I mean, look at it. One of the biggest players in the market has an extremely high vested interest in bullying this stuff as low as they can get. And if they're the only player in these low volume days or one of the bigger players, you know, it's even a magnified effect. So I think it's bearish until it's like a pile of gasoline soaked rags. You know, if and when a catalyst comes, it would spook them out of there. But that's kind of wishing on a star. But anything could happen. And South America would be the obvious culprit right now. Then I think, in a way, then, of course, it would turn bullish and sort of magnify it. But and sort of be catapulted. Another positive along that same line of thinking is if you look at the broader commodity indices, whether it's Bloomberg or, you know, Thompson or CRB or whatever, you know, they're all looking extremely good on a weekly and a monthly chart, you know, because of the crude oil and precious metals and livestock and cotton or whatever. And corn and beans are just pathetic compared to them, which just kind of speaks of just how obscenely bearish the fundamentals are for us right now. But by the same token, the funds could provide a spark to the upside if something changes. The situation in the grains versus the other commodity markets could also sort of be a catapulting effect, because then I think you'd have a lot of outside money coming in trying to take advantage of that that extreme difference between grains versus other commodities. So all we need is a spark. I don't know if we're going to get that or not.
Okay. Clayton, I want to talk a little bit more about the funds when we come back, and I want to get your thoughts on what we ought to be doing at 385 in December corn futures. And we need to talk about cattle and hogs a little bit here too, Clayton, and see if you think we need to get some downside protection in place. We're talking with Clayton Pope from Clayton Pope Commodities on ATB.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Join 800-plus farm executives in the U.S. and Canada while discovering business opportunities, gaining invaluable insights, and increasing your competitive advantage at the 2018 Top Producer Seminar. During these few short days, you'll hear from nearly 30 challenging and inspiring speakers who will help take your farm operation to the next level. Keynote speakers include Chris Cook, Brian Dodge, and Eric Snodgrass. Visit topproducerseminar.com to view the agenda and to register today.
Bell's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today, buddy?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at March copper futures today. As one would expect, the copper market has proven quite strong since late 2016 as traders anticipated improved economic growth under the Trump administration. The recent passage of the tax reform law suggests much more of the same. However, copper futures have started out 2018 rather poorly, with the nearby March contract setting back from the 3.5-year high at $3.32.2 per pound reached on December 28. Several rally attempts have failed lately, and the March future has slipped below both its 10 and 20-day moving averages. Major support is likely to emerge between current levels around $3.20 and $3. A drop below that range could spell trouble for copper and for the financial markets in general.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. That fits real well with the conversation we're having with Clayton. All right, thanks, Dan. That is Pearl Farmer Senior Economist Dan Bott. Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. Pro Farmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. Pro Farmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the Pro Farmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Markets move fast. Keep pace with the experts right here on AgriTalk After the Bell.
And welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody.
If there's anything better than ants, it's got to be alien ants, doesn't it?
It's got to be. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, well, thanks for that, John. I appreciate that. Welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody. We're talking with Clayton Pope today. Before we get back to the conversation, let's get a recap from Davis.
Chip March hard red winter wheat futures were 2 cents lower at 427 and one half, with front month SRW down 2.5 cents to close at 422 and three quarters. March corn was a penny higher at 352 and one half. July corn up a penny and a quarter at 369 even. March beans were 4.25 cents higher at 977 and one quarter. July beans gained 4.25 to close at 998 and one quarter. February cattle were a nickel lower at 121.90. March feeders, $1.57.5 lower today at 145.60. And February lean hogs were down 97.5 cents at 72.07.5. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, Kimo Sabe.
All right, buddy. We've got the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report coming up at the end of the show, right?
Affirmative.
Affirmative. Thank you, bud.
Yep.
All right, give us a call. It's 855-4TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with the hashtag ChipATB. We're talking with Clayton Pope from Clayton Pope Commodities. Clayton, we were talking about the fund influence in soybeans, and we're getting over to talking about some of the outside markets and the influence there as well. But I want to go back to the funds in corn, because that's where the funds have really gotten short. And we rolled right up to 354 again today in the March contract, matched the high that we set earlier this week, and it just seems like the funds are more than willing to step in and defend those short positions by adding on and doing some selling up against some resistance levels.
Yeah, it is dismaying, but what you say is absolutely true, and I think it's just very similarly to how the wheat market has acted over the last mm-hmm. couple of years. These funds, they're not as easily shaken out of their shorts as would like them to be. And at least initially, it does seem like they're more apt to defend their position, like I was saying earlier, than they are to run scared from it. We did have three closes today, or this week, the last 3 days have all closed above the, no, I take it back, two out of the last 3 days, corn have closed above the 50-day average, which is a positive sign, but I would guess if we took out today and yesterday's high early next week, then you would spark some interest. I'm a big fan of some of the weekly, like MACD, technical yep. studies, and that's actually turned positive on a weekly, so whereas beans have not. And we kind of go along with my thought that corn just continues to be underpriced relative to beans. I don't think it deserves to be. So I think given time here, corn will gain on beans. I don't know if that means beans will fall faster than corn or corn will firm up relative to beans or, rally more than beans. But I do think that the gap will narrow. But, it's hard to spook those guys out. But it looks like we might have a fighting chance here of moving in that direction right now.
Okay. Corn undervalued compared to soybeans. I agree with you. I agree with you in the nearby contracts. I agree with you in the new crop contracts. Is that going to have any influence, or how much influence is that going to have on producers' decisions on what their crop mix is going to be for 2018?
I don't think that's going to have as much of an influence as just the plain raw cost of production. New crop bean to corn ratio is only 2.6, and a long term average is more like 2.45 or 2.5 to 1. So we're really not off the mix that much. But if I had to bet, I would say given time you'll see that shift, and instead of being above the norm, that ratio will be below the norm, maybe go down to 2.3 to 1 or something like that. But it's the nearby old crop stuff that's still like 2.8 to 1, yeah. Which doesn't really make much sense to me. When you got a bean carryover that I think will eventually be over 500 million bushels, I don't know why beans continue. Well, I do know why they maintain their premiums, because of that big question mark of Brazilian production and Chinese demand. But as time unfolds, I think that premium that those two uncertainties are commanding will fade away, and beans will drop relative to corn.
Okay. You talked about soybean export demand earlier, and how much we need to pick up the pace so that we can get to USDA's number, even though they cut 65 million bushels from the export estimate in last week's S&Ds. How do you feel about this corn pace? Are we okay? Can we get to USDA's number?
I'd be shocked if we do. I think the only way we do is if South America turns south in a real big way and in a hurry, in which case China would have to run to our doorstep and really pick up the pace with us. And we're already entering the time period where we would expect to see our bean sales start to back off pretty dramatically. Like I said, I know this morning was a good number, but that's not going to continue in all likelihood. If we continue going at the pace we have without really setting them back on fire, which I don't think we will, I don't think we'll set them on fire, I think they'll eventually drop at least another 50 million off that thing, and maybe 75 million. That's why I think we'll get the carryover over 500.
Yeah. That's going to hurt us. That's going to make it difficult to maintain, to stay anywhere north of 950, isn't it?
I think it will. Yeah. If let's just say corn price for new crop stays the same at 383.
Yeah,
2.5 times that would be 957 for November. So what's that? That's 40 cents lower than we are right now. But if South America avoids the problem, these corn's not going to be at 383 anymore either. So, let's say that starts to drift down towards where front month is. I mean, we're probably getting ahead of ourselves because we got two big growing seasons ahead of us before we say that. But let's just say corn drops halfway down to where the nearbys are, down to, say, 370 in the December or 365, then, yeah, you could have November beans going down and very easily approaching $9, I think.
Wow. Okay. All right.
But again, that's if South America jumps through all the favorable hoops, and we do too.
Sure.
There's plenty of room for a problem here. And like I said earlier, we've got a couple trajectory factors in motion here that if we start to get a supply fear-led rally, then I think a couple of those steroids could jump in and help us.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back to the influence of the outside markets here for just a second. You heard those comments from Dan Vaught on what's going on in this copper market. Do we really need to pay a lot of attention to what's going on in some of those industrial metals right now?
You know, it's crazy. It seems like so many of the relationships that have held so solidly for so long just don't mean squat right now.
That's where I wanted you to go, Clayton.
Somebody's had a really good article a couple months ago about the relationship between, let me think, it was crude oil and gold, oddly enough, versus corn. And it's just, you looked at this thing and you just thought, oh, my gosh, that's the, you know, the magic formula. All I have to do is watch crude oil and gold. Yeah. And it's just been absolutely worthless ever since then. And same thing with the dollar weakness. I mean, you know, you would think dollar weakness would inspire some strength. I guess all you can say is it arguably has kept us from falling further, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I know. I think all those outside market relationships are sure something you have to keep in mind, because you never know when they're going to kick back in gear again. But it's like any other factor in this business, just like a raw price trend. The trend is your friend, and the trend in relationships, or the lack of that relationship in itself, is a trend. And you might as well just count on that trend continuing until it changes, because now the odds of a trend continuing are much greater than the odds of it changing.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. You know, this reminds me of something that I learned very early on down at the Board of Trade when we were down there, Clayton. There were the systems traders down there on the floor, and they were always working on the next system, because they knew that systems will work until they don't. And once they don't, they can hurt you in a big way. And so then they'd bring in the next one and try to make that work for a period of time. Hey, what are you thinking in cattle and hogs right now? Should a guy be getting some downside protection in place?
I think they should. I'm more of a technician in the livestock than I am a fundamentalist. But yep. Just in the big picture, I think technically and value-wise, I do think some risk should be taken off the table in both cattle and hogs right now. Both had a pretty good run, and yeah. I don't really see why they continue to climb much more.
What would you favor here? Because the volatility is pumped up a little bit in these markets. What would you favor, just a straight short futures or a long put or a put-call combination?
In beans or corn?
No, in the livestock.
Oh, you're talking about livestock?
Yeah.
I would try to – well, their options aren't nearly as liquid as the grains, but if you're patient and careful in your execution, I'm always a big fan, whether it's livestock or grains, of a min-max approach. I'm really hard-pressed to just be an outright buyer of puts, except in very rare circumstances. I just think you're your own worst enemy, being long an eroding asset. So I know a lot of people disagree with me, but I would take the risk of the margin – exposure of selling a call to help pay for whatever put I buy. It's usually the path I take, and that would hold true in livestock as well.
Yeah, and I think it would make a lot of sense in livestock right now to look at that max min strategy in there. Clayton, am I going to see you next week?
Absolutely. Taylor and I are both heading up to Chicago for Top Producer, and really looking forward to it. Have a good group of our customers coming up there. We're fortunate enough to be able to take them out to dinner, and really looking forward to a couple of days of lots of information.
Yeah, excellent. All right, buddy. Well, I will see you and Taylor there. I'm looking forward to that. We may have to find an opportunity to marinate an ice cube together.
Hey, I'm there. Sounds good.
Perfect. All right, you travel safe, Clayton, and we'll see you next week at Top Producer Seminar. That is Clayton Pope from Clayton Pope Commodities. Okay, when we come back, we've got Davis with the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report, and I want to take a look at the 6-10-day weather outlook as well. We got to save a little bit of time for that, because there's some transition things happening in the weather outlook. We'll do that next on ATB.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
From equipment failure to changing commodity prices, there's enough worries facing growers today. Leading yield robbers like SDS and nematode shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from Bayer is the only product that offers effective protection against SDS and nematodes. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about fixing your tractor or selling your beans at the best price. Don't worry about SDS and nematodes. Learn more at alevo.bayer.com and always read and follow label directions.
Join 800-plus farm executives in the U.S. and Canada while discovering business opportunities, gaining invaluable insights, and increasing your competitive advantage at the 2018 Top Producer Seminar. During these few short days, you'll hear from nearly 30 challenging and inspiring speakers who will help take your farm operation to the next level. Keynote speakers include Chris Cook, Brian Dodge, and Eric Snodgrass. Visit topproducerseminar.com to view the agenda and to register today.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-502-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-502-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-502-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Today's trading is over. Now it's time to set your strategy for tomorrow. This is AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
when inside jokes are played on a nationally syndicated radio program.
During a live broadcast.
During a live broadcast.
Yeah.
Welcome back to ATB, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Great conversation there with Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
Straight thinker, you know?
Yeah.
And really, what I learned from Clayton long ago
mm-hmm.
is that he is really about reducing risk.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like any position that could potentially increase your risk. And I'm not saying don't go out and grow a crop, because as soon as you do, you've got more risk
well,
in
sure.
the market. I'm not saying that.
Obviously.
But for when it comes to futures and options, you know, like buyback positions, stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
I've never heard Clayton be a real big proponent of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good approach.
Joe Vaclavic is that way too.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, oh, very much. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we talk about buybacks, he just kind of steps back and rolls his eyes, and he's like, I don't know. We've covered that risk. Why mm-hmm. do we want to take risk back
right,
on?
Right.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I enjoy those conversations with guys like Clayton and Joe. Speaking
yeah.
of Joe,
yeah.
next week at TPS,
mm-hmm.
I was trying to put the schedule together for After the Bell, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to be in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So on Wednesday next week,
yeah,
Joe's coming over.
Yeah.
He's going to be on with me, and so is Ted.
At the same time.
Ted Seifried.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of think maybe we're just going to take turns opening and closing segments.
That's a great idea. It'll be Battle of the Guest Host Stars.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report.
Give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh, yeah.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is brought to you by Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor. Cutting-edge analysis, risk management, and the tools you need to succeed. For weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district, visit profarmer.com. And now, Chip.
Yes, Tonto?
Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. this week in our news, our price survey is very interesting. Anhydrous ammonia and urea each slightly higher on the week, 32% unchanged, 28% down, like, well, I'll call it out here. 431 lower by the short ton this week. Now priced below anhydrous ammonia on an indexed basis. We've talked about
really?
What that means in the past, and that's usually meant a continuation of the trend, which is an uptrend.
Okay.
But I also feel like maybe we're topping here. There's a lot going on. A lot going on. Meanwhile, hello, North Dakota.
Yeah.
We reported in the Inputs Monitor about it's a brownfield plant up there, an expansion, adding urea production to a Beulah plant
okay.
up there. So you've got more urea coming up there. Should be online by the end of the month, which means you've got a decent supply surge up in North Dakota. They expect to service about a 300-mile radius with some fresh urea production, which is awesome. Let's see. Phosphate prices were still kind of mixed, a little bit overpriced. Chinese operating rates this week were a big story for us, predicted to fall to about 60% of production capacity. Now, remember,
really?
They've got the whole natural gas thing going on there. They've got a bunch of that.
Yeah.
And so they've, you know, ammonia production is down over there because of the rerouted natural gas over to home heat. So keep an eye on your phosphates there. Just really interesting. I ran some numbers for our newsletter. Year ago, compared to this week last year, anhydrous ammonia is down 5.16%. From May 1st, we're down 15.36%.
Okay.
So, yes, we're in an uptrend. Yes, prices are higher. It's not quite as bad as it seems, though. If you had decent profitability,
still,
a decent plan last year.
We're still under year-ago prices.
And I wrote, you don't want to do cookie cutter from year to year. You want to redo it each year, obviously.
Yep.
But if it worked last year, it may just work this year. So chin up, everybody. Anhydrous ammonia up $1.76 by the short ton of the week to $448.31. UAN solutions mixed, 28% off $431. 32% unchanged. 28% now at $218.05. 32% at $244.74. 32% a little overpriced there, I think. Urea up $1.03 to $351.02. Phosphates, DAP was off $158. MAP, $662 higher by the short ton. I don't know what's going on with MAP there. because we watch the margin between DAP and MAP, which is usually between about $15 to $20. It's up to $30
really?
And something margin there. So that tells me either DAP is set to try and chase it, or MAP is going to overdo it and come back down.
And may have already overdone it.
It may have already overdone, and we are due for seasonal pressure on phosphates. I said last week we've got some work to do booking our phosphate for spring. We're looking for opportunities in the next couple of weeks, so be ready there. Potash 213 lower to 331.68. Diesel 4 cents lower at 233. Propane 2 cents lower at 149 per gallon. I hate to say the worst is over for farm fuels, but it may be. We're looking to book. I'd like to get another 3 cents off here to 230 on diesel before we start booking some more for spring. We want to do that incrementally, of course, to minimize some risk here. Get details at profarmer.com.
All right. All right. Thank you, buddy.
Sure thing.
Okay. Hey, I was going to ask you real quick.
Yeah.
The nitrogen plant down in southeast Iowa, is that doing everything that it's supposed to be doing?
As far as we know, yeah. Okay. It's pumping out nitrogen like gangbusters, and that is for domestic use only.
Right.
Was their intention anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. National Weather Service, 6-10-day outlook. This is for January 25th through the 29th, above normal temperatures.
All right.
Over the eastern, it's not quite the half, but it includes Wisconsin, most of Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, and points to the east. And then on the precip, this is the thing that's got me a little bit worried here. We're looking at above to much above normal precip over a lot of the country. Unfortunately, southwest hard red winter wheat areas are not included in that.
Oh, man.
But we've got above normal precip, and I mean, this time of the year, that means snow.
Yeah.
All right, tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Real Farming. Farming is not just a career, it's equally as much a way of looking at the world. And now today's tweets at Billings Family One. You're not a real farmer unless you own some yellow cotton chore gloves with red wristbands.
That's right.
I grew up in those, baby. At Nick Ehlers 01, Ancient Aliens on History Channel, basically saying aliens are creating X-Men. I don't care how broken this foot is, I'm out of here. Gotta do something
Good
else.
Good luck, Nick.
And one more at the Wild Norax. Sometimes I feel like my life revolves around feeding animals, carrying water to animals, cleaning up after animals, and looking for lost animals. And that's okay. It's nice to be needed.
That's right. That's right. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Clayton Polk, for coming on the show. Monday on AgriTalk, we've got Machinery Pete. And Monday on ATB, Craig Van Dyke from Top Third Ag Marketing on ATB.
What is the Corvus Zone? It's the weed-free area between the rows. But only when you use Corvus, the one corn herbicide that delivers three levels of grass and broadleaf weed defense. Burn down, residual, and reactivation with rain. You want season-long control of the toughest weeds, including resistant ones? Use Corvus Pre-Emergence Corn Herbicide, America's preferred choice. Corvus is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.